Good evening, everybody, and welcome to this evening's teleseminar called The Alchemy of Voice. My name is Damien Sen, and it's a great pleasure to have you on the call this evening. In a few moments from now, I'll be joined by our very special guest, Stuart Pearce. But before I introduce Stuart, please allow me to share how this call will work this evening, particularly if this is your first peopleyoushouldmeet.com call that you've tuned into. Now, we're going to be on the call for around about an hour, and over the course of the hour, I'll be asking Stuart a whole range of questions on our topic. Some of the questions will be my own, but the vast majority of questions will have actually been submitted in through the site by you, our listeners. Now, for me personally, one of the things that really gets me excited about this call is that one of my great passions is personal self-expression, and I think the voice is just such an amazing tool to enable us to express ourselves fully in the world. And for me, knowing Stuart personally, I guess we first met around 2 years ago through a mutual friend called Steve Noble, who's also been a guest many times on the People You Should Meet program. And yes, Stuart and I got together and we had a real instant bond, and also had the opportunity to spend some time together. And one of the real amazing things was I got a full experience of Stuart's work as a voice coach and a sound healer. And they're both incredible, I can tell you. Now, Stuart has an incredibly distinguished career working with the voice. Some of the notable positions that he's held include head of voice at Webber Douglas Academy of Dramatic Art, the master of voice at the Shakespeare Globe Theatre here in London, and also head of voice in the Drama Centre here in London as well. And on top of that, he's also had very prestigious client listings with many high-flying entertainment clients and also social dignitaries, and also has a very prominent business helping corporate people actually get in touch with their voice and actually help them to express themselves more authentically in the context of business. So it's a very great pleasure to welcome to the call our very special guest this evening, Stuart Pearce. Are you there, Stuart?
Damien, it's wonderful to be speaking, and all those people out there that you've enticed into this extraordinary medium, what a wonderful opportunity, and welcome to all our guests. So thank you.
Yes, very big welcome to everyone wherever they're tuned in from around the world. Now, Stuart, the title, Alchemy of Voice, is very intriguing. I guess the voice is something I'm very interested in, but also the concept of alchemy. And I was just wondering if you could actually explain how the different elements meld together for listeners at home.
Sure. Well, firstly, it starts off with the essential belief that sound is at the core of creation. And that is something that I guess we all know on some level, because we refer to, in our simplistic way, we refer to the Big Bang, not the Big Silence, this event that took place 13.7 billion years ago. So something actually took place, you know, something from primordial stillness, or indeed primordial silence, suddenly became a sound, which is still reverberating through the cosmos, and I indeed believe it will be for infinity. So there is that, but then there is also the sound of our own incarnational pathways. We come into this world of knowing, but the very first thing that we do as an independent action, as we leave our mother's birth canal, is to breathe in the great breath of life, the great holy wind, and to sound our note into the world. And indeed, the last thing that we do is to breathe out, and then we become part once more of the infinite and return to the source. So there are many possibilities in terms of where the very core of this work exists. It was first given to me by inspiration, by angelic inspiration, in 1987 during a very unique astrological configuration which was known as the Harmonic Convergence. So for those of you who are listening in, this is August 15, 16, 17th of 1987, when the ancient Mayan prophecy suggested that 144,000 rainbow light warriors were awakened. So many of us at that time woke up to the conviction of our spiritual path, and literally during that course of weekend became initiates. We decided that we had to live as spiritual beings on a human journey. So there I was actually as a clairvoyant giving readings in Glastonbury And I felt during my lunch break that I needed to go and sit on the Great Tor, which is one of the most powerful energy centers on the planet. So I went and sat on the Tor. That has its own story, so we won't go into that, otherwise we'd go off on a huge tangent. I went and sat on the Tor, and within a space of about 45, 50 minutes, my angelic guardians actually channeled this notion of the alchemy of voice. And specifically, they asked it to be called the alchemy of voice, because the belief is that as sound is at the core of creation, we can transform any negativity, whether it be physical, emotional, mental, or spiritual, into positive harmony within and without our bodies. Within our bodies as microcosmic units within the cosmos, as well as within the macrocosmic unified field of life, light, life, which is the source. So this is what they interpreted through my discernment, you know, through my intuition, and then through my perceptual processes. The alchemy, because alchemy is at the core of transmutation, and there is a vibrational force within or upon our planet which suggests that nothing is singular, everything is plural. So where there is dis-ease, there is ease. Where there is hate, there is love. Where there is guilt, there is innocence. Where there is disappointment, there is joy. So it's a question of looking into, well, what are the holding points that we may have within our beings and finding a way of being able to transmute them through sound, which firstly starts with thought, because thought creates reality, but then moves into, okay, so how can I use this energy of sound to literally move the force of holding within my body? And for our listeners, I don't talk about blocks, I talk about holdings. The reason being that when I was a child, I was constantly being told I was blocked. And it seemed so irremediable that I talk about holding points, because I don't know if you can actually feel the texture. Words anchor states. And to say holding, it's gentler and more benign, even though it may be a cancerous tumor. It's a holding point that can actually be completely transmogrified by transmuting the energy through sound. And of course, our voices are purely physical means that we use to communicate the way we think and the way we feel. But there is an ancient belief that the space out of which our voices spring, so to speak, the voice box, the larynx, is within the throat chakra, and that the throat chakra is the entry point and leaving point for soul. So in all ancient cultures that are, you know, both temporal and spiritual, there is this belief that sound is a remarkable force. The Elizabethans, you know, said that all speech was decorated silence. Mm. Isn't that amazing?
Beautiful.
We're surrounded by noise. And yet, you know, today, wherever I go, I hear people tuning into the power of voice. I think this has very much come about as a result of this remarkable man, Barack Obama. What a voice he has. I call him Om Bama, Om Bama.
Great.
I've given you many things to think about, but it does go to the core of why it's called the alchemy.
Sure.
Yeah. And of course, you can feel that there is a lineage in the work through the substance of alchemy, which goes right into Egyptian alchemy and then beyond into Atlantean alchemy. And this is very much to do with my spiritual heritage, what my guides have revealed to me as being a sound healer, a sound magician, a sound transformer, a person who lives through sound.
Mm. Great. That's amazing. Now, I guess for people listening in at home, that there's absolutely no mistake that you have a phenomenal voice of your own, Stuart. I was just wondering, on your own personal journey, have you always been fully connected with your amazing sound, or was there a process that you had to go through to really connect with that resonance that we see in your voice or hear in your voice today?
Well, thank you and bless you for what you're saying. it just sort of is something that pipes through me. How did I come about it? I came about discovering this sound that I have through silence, because for the first 5 years of my life, I didn't speak. And I believe it was to do with the fact that I was trying to remain in my body. But being in a body was just so strange. And making sound opened up that space between the inner world of self and the outer world of doing, of being this thing that they wanted me to be. And so my brother, I have a brother who's a year older, sort of translated for me a lot of the time. And then when I awoke to speaking, because I found that it actually more precisely honored my needs, and my needs were at that time were to really be held in as much love as possible, because I just found it really difficult being here. And met huge educational difficulties because I couldn't do what they wanted me to do. So, for example, I couldn't read before the age of about 12. Mm. And my mother had, she was a very extraordinary being, and now she is no longer with us, but she's very much there in soul, in spirit. She had this remarkable notion because whenever I made a sound, apparently people would be drawn to me, you know, whether it was me humming, singing, speaking, or whatever, you know, through the ouching and the bellowing that we all get up to when we're kids. She noted that I had this ability to pitch sound. So she suggested I join a church choir, and indeed loved it so much, aping, you know, just copying what the other boys did, because I had this thing, this book in front of me, but I couldn't read the words. But I thought the notes were sort of interesting because it looked like a landscape. So I realized that I was actually seeing sound, that I saw the energy of sound in the energy field of our existence, you know, within aura and within the unified field of light that surrounds us the whole time. So I could see it and then could see the fractals of light that poured through and beings that used them to transport themselves, beings in the fifth, sixth dimension. So this is how it started. And of course, by singing, I then realized that what I was singing and copying from the other boys, because it was an all-boy choir, because this was a long time ago. This was in the late 50s, early 60s, that I was actually reading. So I was reading singing and then began reading speaking. And that's, I believe, when people said, you have a sound which people want to listen to. Mm-hmm. Work on it. Do you know, because I couldn't do anything else. I couldn't compute, and I couldn't read, and I couldn't do all sorts of stuff. Mm-hmm. I wasn't very athletic. I just wanted to be loved, so I ate a lot and became very fat. You know, the sort of rather classic archetypal things that often happen with people like us who are born very sensitively into this world, and the world is a challenging, developmental, somewhat hostile space. So that's how it really happened. And then, of course, going through adolescence and discovering all of those things that we discover, and my voice changing into roughly what you hear of it now. And, you know, that's many years ago. It's over 40 years ago. That what I began to realize is that people were drawn to my storytelling. And so that's one of the reasons why I became an actor, because I was just constantly gaining approval for people, whereas anything else that I did, they didn't really approve of what I was being. So I thought, okay, well, this is obviously where the flow lies, because this is, in other words, what I was seeing is enchantment in people. What I was seeing is the fact that they enjoyed the vitality of life, and that something inspirational happened to them because their energy fields changed. And they began to smile, and they often moved from something discordant into something cordant in their behavior, where they started being pleasant people, or they started to express enjoyment or love or care, rather than disappointment and anger and disapprobation, you know, disapproval. So I sort of went with it. Now, obviously, having been an actor, I've got used to the physiology of my voice, and it's been trained. So I guess the harmonic that you may hear, or the resonance that you may hear, is something that's developed over the years with me being a student of the voice and just training it as I work with actors. Because 30 years ago, my career as an actor finished, and I became this voice coach. And that all happened because there I was in the States making a movie, and about to make a movie, and my brother called and said, Stuart, you know, you've got to come home to the United Kingdom because our mother was dying. She had terminal cancer. So I let the movie go and came back here and nursed her for nearly a year, and then she passed. And then it was a question of, shit, what do I do? And I met a very remarkable woman called Cicely Berry, who was the voice director of the RSC, and she gave me my first job and mentored me through it. So a huge door opened, and again, it was an acknowledgement of flow, you know, that here is joy. All of that stuff is to do with pain and sorrow, which holds. Here is joy which flows and allows one to be an enfolding field of light.
I just love that as a thought form. Like every exit is an entry to somewhere else. And just being fully connected with that flow of life, like life's always wanting to take you somewhere. Great. Now, Stuart, you've had, as I mentioned in the introduction, like a phenomenal like a range of accomplishments with The Voice. And I was just wondering, what of all the accomplishments you have to your name, I was just wondering, what's the one accomplishment that makes you most proud?
Wow. Could I have two?
You can have two.
When I say when you say most proud, if I can use that as being in a moment of life where I felt completely vital, where every single part of me was scintillated, you know, that soul tingle because of my service, because of a gift. Is that what you're really saying?
That's exactly what I'm talking about.
So can I have two?
You can have two, most certainly.
Okay, great. So the first would be working with a client that came to us some years ago. This was a beautiful woman who was pregnant, and she came to me because of gross discomfort that she was experiencing within the lower abdomen, understandably, and thought that maybe, you know, she'd had all sorts of tests in a conventional allopathic way, and thought maybe that the vibrational force of sound would help. So as we worked together, we had the inspiration together of, why don't we try to find the note of the child, the note of the unborn child, from the belief that we each have our own signature note. And when we sound this signature note, we go right into the very core of our physical geometry. So the belief is that everything that is within the physical world has a note, whether it be animate or inanimate. So you can go around the room and tap things, and you can hear each thing has its own note, which is a frequency that leads into resonance that is a sympathetic vibration of the initial note. So the frequency or the pitch goes into resonance, and then what is created is a field. So we had exchanged this, and this knowing, and she knew her note. So she asked me if I would find the note of the child. So I sounded through the whole of her being, and the child became so active within the amniotic fluid that we knew we'd found the note, because when the note was found, the action became stillness. And we just knew intuitively. She knew, as this extraordinary, you know, about-to-be mother, that this was it. So she said, as she was leaving the consulting room, would you be at my birthing and sound the note? I mean, what an honor. So this was the first time. So I was there. It was a water birthing. And as the cervix began to dilate, the midwife just told me, okay, now. And I started sounding the note. I'm telling you, that cervix opened, and that child came winging out into the world. And immediately, spontaneously made its own note sound, which is believed, you know, it's believed in an ancient rabbinical text that note resonates throughout the cosmos forever.
Wow.
So that was the first one. Amazing, huh?
What amazing.
And then the second was the complete opposite. It was being in Tibet years ago, because I was invited by the British Council to go and to work with the Gyotra monks. And I had the great privilege of meditating at 5 o'clock every morning with five of the principal monks and sounding with them. And there was this man sitting next to me each morning, and I thought, gosh, you know, you're so old. And they told me he was about 120 years old. Wow. And then one morning when we were sounding, there was a remarkable presence in the room as we sounded. And I noticed that he'd suddenly become silent. So I opened, you know, our eyes were closed, of course, we were in meditation, but I opened one eye, and I noticed force leave his body as he sounded.
Wow.
And this man died.
Wow.
So I saw his spirit leave his body through sound.
Wow. That's amazing.
And he stood, or rather sat, I should say, cross-legged, smiling for 3 days, and then his body fell over, and then, you know, the monks came and took him through the process of the bardo that is believed to be powerful in Tibetan Buddhism. So that was an extraordinary moment to see this man move over, pass over into fourth, fifth dimension.
Mm.
And to see the sound leave his body as spirit left his body. It was quite extraordinary.
Wow. But I think,
so I would say that they were, you know, they were in those moments of awe that were deeply inspiring for me, for this, you know, this humble being in the face of the great wisdom and mystery of life.
Mm. And amazing that they were both doorway moments. Like moving
yes.
from one reality
yes.
into another. Amazing.
Yeah, the Alpha and the Omega, huh? I mean, just amazing. And, you know, one of the monks told me that there's an ancient tradition in Tibetan Buddhism that, and he said, one day man will be known not by his name, but by his personal note.
Wow.
Isn't that fascinating?
That's amazing.
So this wonderful man, this wonderful Buddhist monk, literally was sounding his note while he died. I hope to be doing the same thing. Maybe in full flight, talking on a recording like this.
What a way to go.
But not for many years yet.
It brings us actually perfectly to the signature note. And I know it created a whole series of fascinations for people around the world when I sent this broadcast out. I was just wondering if you could actually share with people what is a signature note and how can actually people go about finding their own personal signature note.
Sure. Well, here we are. The radical truth is that we each have our own note. And we know this, of course. When we hear that reckoning, we know it. It resonates deep within us on a very primordial level. And the point is that many of us, because we're not given this information, and because we're not initiated from being children into adulthood, that we often don't know this. So we don't sound our note in the world. So what do I mean by this? Well, the majority of people who come to me, whether it's those people who come for the workshops, the Alchemy of Voice, which are now international workshops, or indeed just, you know, people that come for exoteric voice coaching, whether they be actors or statespeople or CEOs or whatever, that, you know, the person comes and what they say is, look, I've been told that, you know, I really need to do something with my voice because I've been told that I actually talk a little bit too fast. I've been told that I have no real gravitas, you know, and I've been told that people, you know, feel that I talk at them rather than to them. And I say, wow, you know, well, I think I'll help you here. So what's intrigued me over the years, you know, of examining this over the last 40-odd years is sort of looking into, well, why do we do this? And it seems that the reason why we make this sound up here is that we're stressed out because all we do is do. We know we're fixated with doing.
Mm.
And we forget that we're human beings.
Mm.
And that as soon as we begin to balance the doing and the being, which is another way of talking about the yang and the yin, you know, the masculine and the feminine, and of course that list goes off into infinity, doesn't it? You know, that duality of what our species on this planet is all about. As soon as we find a way of being able to balance these energies of effort and freeness, of dynamic and still, we find something in the core of our being which we know is utterly our essence.
Mm.
And this, I believe, is our note. Now, a lot of people say to me, well, have I found my note? Is this my note? And of course, what we strive to do with left brain consciousness is to find the singular note, because we think that that's the answer to everything, you know, that
right.
This is the oracular belief that's going to allow us to understand all the mysteries of the cosmos. And of course, it's not that way, in the sense of, as we speak of the note, what we're actually talking about is the acknowledgement of that resting place, that one essential place deep in the middle of our physical geometry, that when we sit, and I'll sort of indicate for everybody in a moment a simple thing that we can do to find that note, but when we sit there, it's like sitting in a throne. Or to mix metaphors, what I often say to people is, imagine you have a prism right in the center of your being. And when I say the center of being, I'm really talking about that point where the heart center and the third chakra meet. So I believe it is our heart, the secret chamber of the heart where the note is held. But of course, it's, you know, the radius of that area is quite broad in our bodies. But when we sit there, then suddenly we sound this extraordinary energy, and therefore, rather like a prism, which has the one light, the sunlight, moving through it, that as it moves through, as the breath light moves through that prism, that it becomes many rays, just as the light that shines through the prism in the window, the sunlight that shines through, refracts into, as we know, seven primary colors that then become the complementary colors. So there's a whole rainbow effect. So if this is my note, that as you hear me sound it, you can hear that there are many harmonics within it that give it the multiplicity of the singularity of what we're all about. Does that make any sense?
Yeah, completely. Yeah.
So how to find it? Because when we find it, it brings us into a state of rest where we feel really harmonized, and therefore all the wonderful attributions that go with harmony. We feel that joy, we feel the relax, we feel sexy, we feel powerful, we feel confident, we feel excellent. Okay, so if our listeners are sitting on chairs, if they were to feel their whole body as aligned as possible, meaning just feeling their feet on the floor, and the pelvis comfortably positioned, maybe people are sitting cross-legged, that's cool as well, and the spine aligned, so they're not leaning back into the chair and finding it difficult to breathe, but really feeling how the whole alignment of the spine has this amazing pranic cord within it. So having mentioned that, if having aligned the spine, that everybody can actually see a laser beam of light going through the spine, this is the pranic cord, and just seeing how that laser beam of light, whether it's white light or a color, is going right down through the base of the spine and then through the levels of the building, if you know people are in multi-story buildings, and then going right down through into the earth's crust and through the soil, the clay, the stone, the rock, and anchoring into the very womb of Mother Earth. And then just taking a moment to feel how we are supported by her, this amazing energy of our planet, the blue planet, and how she holds us in complete unconditional love. We just simply forget her. In this moment, we remember her. Then asking her, if we can, for a gift, for a sign, for a blessing, as we siphon the energy up through the rock, through the stone, through the clay, through the soil, and then through the earth's crust, through whatever levels may exist, and then back into our bodies. So it goes right through our spine, and then shooting off through the top of our heads, through the building, through the atmosphere of the planet, to, let's say, to Venus, the planet of love, that bright star in the night sky. So our whole pranic cord is open, and therefore we can take breath down. So as we receive from Mother Earth, let's receive from Father Heaven. Just let all the breath go. Just blow it out. And then when one's ready, just big breath in. And see the breath as light filling your body through that cord, like an elevator going down a shaft. So the whole of the interior is illuminated. And then just blow it out. And now we're going to breathe in again, same way, and see a white light in the center of the forehead, and on the outgoing breath, just just humming into the center of the head. And then when you need to recover the breath light, breathe in. And now we're going to take that hum down through the spine. Mm-hmm. that is going to be different for each and every one of us. And there's your note. You'll feel that suddenly that sound moves into the area where the diaphragm is, or where the rib cage is, or where the sternum is. Just imagining lips there. And then if we stay there on the next breath and just go, and then take the next breath in and just say, 1, 2, 3, 4. And there's our note. It's that simple. And of course, what goes with it is this amazing feeling of, wow, that's powerful. Mm. Wow, that's deep or earthy. Mm. And doesn't that feel relaxing? How do you feel, Damien?
Yeah, phenomenal.
Good, huh?
Yeah. It's quite interesting because I guess it goes against what the mind would probably have you believe about finding your note. I just love the couple of things that you mentioned, how I guess through your own personal experience, discovering your voice through silence, but also how finding that note actually brings you to a state of rest. And I know on a cerebral level, that there's part of it that wouldn't be very obvious for someone who's trying to think about their signature note. But for coming from a heart level space, it makes absolute sense.
Yes, yes. Well, thanks. You got it. That's wonderful. Wonderful proverb which says, if words arise from the heart, they will enter the heart.
Mm.
If words arise from the tongue alone, they will not pass beyond the ears.
Mm.
At ancient, ancient, ancient. So I keep saying this to my bank manager. He always laughs at me. You know, because he's, you know, I'm sure he won't be mentioning this. He's, you know, he's about 25, 26. And here we are in the city of London, so he's from an area called Croydon. And he talks like this, you know, now, Stuart, so what are we going to do? We're going to do this and we're going to do that. And I can't understand a word he's saying. Well, of course I can understand it, but then he starts moving so fast. And when he starts talking about fiscal policy, I'm completely lost. So I say, you know, Shabazz, can we just hum for a moment? Breathe and hum. And of course, he said, "Oh my God, you know, Stuart, you're such an odd client. This is absolutely oh my God, okay." You know, because he's really into his body. He's very kinesthetic, is what I mean. He's sensual, so he goes into it and he says, "This feels amazing. Can you come next week and do the same thing?" But the point being that he's sitting in his note and talking to me rather than, you know, speaking at me. And of course, I get what he's talking about.
Mm.
And it's that, you know, that you can probably all hear and read between the vibrational fields that I'm talking about, that it's that, where do you want the information to come from? What is that essential act of creation that opens up all possibilities in the world as we reveal the sovereignty of our purpose? Well, of course, it's our heart. It's not the head. The head is constantly saying, shall I, shan't I, will I, won't. I don't know, help, help, help. But if we go into our heart, the heart always knows. It just knows. But as Damien was just saying, you know, all we need is to give ourselves that stillness, that silence, just to allow the warmth of our heart, our love, to tell us what we need to do and be. And then suddenly life becomes much simpler.
Yeah, I love it.
It's something, I'm mixing all sorts of constructs as I speak, I know. It's something that I refer to as being our sovereignty, meaning that we find the king, queen within. Not the ruler who wishes to subjugate, but the merciful, loving, faithful, unconditional, loving being that is within. You know, the true sovereign. As we see in Barak, I mean, you know, he's just extraordinary.
Mm.
He is an anointed one, isn't he? So,
yeah.
Of course he has a sound. So when he says, we are all one, we all say, yeah. Whereas before we've heard the same thing, but we haven't heard it in this way. We hear it as a new vibration. So we meet this truth for the first time at this unique time in our planetary growth and evolution.
Very, very powerful. Mm. And as Stuart, I mentioned earlier on that we had questions come in from all around the world, and I'm just going to kick you off with a question from Geeta in the United Kingdom. And it extends our conversation of the signature note. And Gita asks, does a signature note last a lifetime, or does it have to be recreated as your circumstances and age change?
Gosh, what a fascinating question. Well, of course, I've really answered it, haven't I, by saying that our quest to find that note we think is just one singular substance. So if we're living on that plane of reference, I have to say that the note that we have is the note that we have is the note that we have. So in effect, on a very literal level, it stays the same. But of course, the secondary feature is the fact that we are always evolving. Energy is always evolving. And if we look into the field of quanta, we know that energy evolves through waves. So the sound waves of that note are constantly changing, becoming richer, becoming weaker, becoming more expanded, becoming less expanded. So fundamentally, the resonance, the harmonic of the note changes as we grow, and as our circumstances, both within and without, change, whether that be physical, emotional, mental, or spiritual. But the point about the note is that it's, as Damien was just saying, it's a point of rest deep within us that we can use to reharmonize physical, emotional, mental, and spiritual, so that those four bodies, which are really the earth, the water, the air, and the fire, you know, these ancient alchemical elements that our ancestors believed were living entities within the universe, that when we feel these energies alive within us and we harmonize them together, we become integrated. That the integers integrate, and therefore we have integrity. And I would, being way over 50, I would say that what I've learned is that the only thing that really matters is truth. Not the falsehood, not the illusion, done that one, you know, seen the got the T-shirt, seen the video. The most important thing is that our heart remains true, and that when we become true, we become integrated and therefore harmonized. You know, the ancients, they believed this, particularly in the so-called origins of Western civilization, in the Greek-Roman models, that the ancients called this persona, and that the word persona means through sound, so that they literally worked to speak eloquently and inspirationally, to speak through their note, to speak truth with gravitas, veritas, integritas, so that whatever they were saying was an act of creation of the most pure source. Now, as we see those civilizations rose and fall, you know, it's again that extraordinary evolutionary measure that I was referring to. But the thing is that the precepts that they taught are immortal. The truth is an evolutionary energy, but it has within it the tincture, the signal, the note of immortality. And that's what's so remarkable. Because as we look at our world today, we're living in a time of unbelievable change. We're living in a time of renaissance. Well, we can't call it that, because we're living it. But our children, our children's children, in 150, 200 years' time, will say, look at that renaissance that our great-great-great-grandparents lived. So, you know, our note, I mean, I'm bringing in many extrapolations, but our note grows and evolves as truth evolves.
Great.
Does that help?
That's a fantastic answer. Now, this question actually comes from Colin, and Colin's in Canada, and it sort of links in with uncovering life's purpose. And Colin asks, is there a unique harmonic resonance for every human being or for every life form? That is, can our sound identity be isolated and identified? If so, can we tune into it? Can we tune into the universal harmonics for better clarity of our life purpose?
Unquestionably, yeah. Unquestionably. You know, the two great references that come to mind, I mean, firstly, you know, the question, I have to say yes, every single living and indeed inanimate form has its own harmonic resonance, has its own harmonic energy field. It's just a question of the level of vibration, or the level of octaval, you know, the level of octave that it rests on. And all we have to do is to move into quanta to understand more fully what that's all about. But my right brain automatically springs to two examples, and the first is the wonderment of the way that the water molecule is changing within our bodies and is being photographed as a representation of thought by Professor Emoto. If we go to the miracles in water, that we see water molecules crystallized because of being frozen at a certain temperature, and with sounds pass through them. So we see that the sounds create patterns that are harmonic references. That's the first thing. The second thing, of course, is the amazing experimentation that's done in relation to cymatics, which is called cymatics because of cyma, meaning wave proportion or wave distribution. And cymatics as a science was first, well, our ancients taught it, but if we go back to modern civilization in the West, if we go back to, say, for example, at the beginning of the 20th century, there was this wonderful French-Swiss scientist called Hans Genis, who took viscous fluids or iron filings and placed them on a sheet of metal, and they got a tuning fork and pinged the tuning fork and put the tuning fork against the sheet of metal. And the viscous fluid or the iron filings moved into patterns. And what he saw was that the note that was introduced through the tuning fork created a harmonic resonance that represented a natural organic form in nature, whether it be a leaf or a tree or a crystal or a grain of sand. The molecular energy was represented through the sound. So, you know, in this short period of time, that's what I can offer, because it's a huge thesis. And, you know, if Colin would like to, he needs to, you know, I would say tune into cymatics. Cymotherapy, which is a science that's growing more and more and more as we begin to see that sound is the medicine of the future through vibrational medicine, or indeed through something very allopathic like ultrasound. There's an experiment which is being conducted at the Middlesex Hospital here in London where middle-aged ladies who have fibroids within their womb are actually being given ultrasound, very high pulsations of sound and light, for a period of about 2 minutes, and the fibroids completely disintegrate. Whereas the old traditional remedy for this, of course, would be that that dear lady would be taken into hospital and her womb would be ripped from her. Her womb would be deconsecrated, and the, you know, resultant trauma was just so painful for so many people. So many women, it's called hysterectomy.
Yeah.
So there are many, you know, there are many attributions. I was only being reminded the other day by a friend of mine that a lot of industrial equipment today is being cleaned through ultrasound.
Wow.
So there are many, many applications that we're just beginning to wake up to. I've strayed off the path of the voice for a moment, but you know, it's going into the more expanded ramifications of sound within the universe and how we can begin to use it. The way that our whales and dolphins, when they sing their song, they actually bring harmony to the tectonic plates, to the whole biosphere, because they know how to sing a song that creates harmony. And when they stop singing their song, there's a reason for it. Just as we saw before the great tsunami, or indeed before 9/11, the whales and the dolphins stopped singing. We have recordings, as it were, of their silence that oceanographers and marine biologists have taken, where suddenly the oceans become silent.
Wow.
And these great mammals stop sounding, because they're always sounding. Some of the sounds that they make we can't hear because their harmonic resonance or ratio is so vast. So there are huge permutations to the question that Colin has asked. Is that clear, Damien?
That is absolutely fascinating. It's opened up a new area of investigation for me around cymatics. Like, I hadn't heard of that before, even though I'm very familiar with Emoto's work. I think Emoto's work is phenomenal. Mm. But it certainly opened up a new area of exploration for me, so thanks for that, Stuart. Now, I've got a question from Phil here in Sweden, and Phil has a question around an angel reading that he had, and but you mentioned you had a real deep connection early on with your angelic guardians.
Mm.
I thought you provide some great insight into this. So if you'll ask, I had an angel reading a couple of months ago, and I learned that I'm here on earth to heal through sound. At present, I am an opera singer, so of course, in some way, I am already doing this. But I can feel there is more for me to do. I'm just interested in finding out how to proceed and pursuing my life's purpose as swiftly as possible so I can really get going on healing myself and others.
Now, this is interesting, isn't it? Because obviously through a very conventional musical form, through classical Western music, you know, Phil's obviously already fulfilling his purpose as a sound healer, but is realizing that there's a new language that he wishes to sing. And I would recommend that I have many, many extraordinary people like Phil coming to me at this time, emailing me from all over the world, who have this wealth of experience of classical notation in music, and yet are feeling something intuitive stir within. And what I'm hearing from the angels is that we're awakening to a language of light where we don't necessarily sing organized musical forms, or we don't sing using words. We just sing or sound or tone, and as a result we become tuning forks where we open up transcendental corridors of light in sound that permeate through the three dimensions into the fourth, into the fifth, and through into the sixth, seventh dimension, which are the archangelic kingdoms. And that's where I go, for example, when I'm working with somebody who really needs tremendous healing because they have cancer or because they're in a state of, you know, which we all understand is severe disease. Mm. And when I move into harmonic overtones, the angels come in and work through psychic surgery, through supernatural healing on that person's body. So I would think that Phil is going in this direction. And I'm just about to record a CD of me bringing through archangelic overtones. So it will be going on the website, The Alchemy Voice, you know, www.thealchemyvoice.com. But there's also a very remarkable sound healer who's a great colleague in America called Tom Kenyon. If you go to his website, tomkenyon.com, and he already has angelic songs that he sings. He has a 5-octave range. He has a most remarkable voice when he sings. And he brings in the archangels and ultra-terrestrial beings. So I would think that Phil is intuitively feeling a very deep stirring within. And I would recommend that he moves towards firstly listening to these sound references, and then through meditation and stillness, not through sounding initially, of tuning into his guardian angel, and his guardian angel will direct him in silence and then through silence into sound. But it has to be through right brain, it has to be through the kinesthesia of his body, not through left brain control. I must do this. It has to be, I feel I could be this. So that the possibility becomes a probability and then manifests. That's what I would recommend. But, you know, having not heard him, obviously. So, Phil, send me a CD. Let me hear you.
Great. Excellent. That's an excellent question, Phil. Now, we've got time for one more, Stuart. And this one comes from Arabella in the United Kingdom. Mm. And Arabella asks, how do I align my inner and outer voice without sounding false to my true nature? I often hear internally what I want to express, but this comes out in a rather overbright, self-conscious manner when I actually speak out loud.
Right. So it's the, well, it's a fascinating question, isn't it? You know, the misperceptions that we have of ourselves, and then the clarity of perception that we have about ourselves. The balance between the inner and the outer, you know, what comes to my mind is the way that when we record our voices, you know, even the greatest voice, you know, what's the greatest voice that exists? You know, think of one of your country women, because we haven't brought in the Australasian continent, Damien, you know, Kate Blanchett. And when we listen to Kate Blanchett's voice, And, you know, when we hear in Lord of the Rings what an amazing sound she makes. Mm. I'm sure if she were here on this conference call that she would say she doesn't like the sound of her voice when she hears the recording. Because what's happening, you see, is that we stop hearing it internally and externally. We only hear it externally through the machine. So our perception is distorted somewhat. So that's the first thing that comes to my mind. But the second thing is moving into slightly complex territory, which is to do with the way that Arabella is feeling her unauthentic self and her authentic self. So I would suggest that if she can physiologically find her note by coming and, you know, receiving my CD, which we'll call Awakening, which she will, you know, can practice, and she will find her note, or coming to workshops, or, you know, whatever reference is important for her, of just working it physically through sound, through opening up the chakras, which I haven't really talked about, because at the core of the alchemy of voice is finding out that we have seven chakras, and that when we sound through them, they become huge vortices of energy that brings us back into understanding how they are biocomputers by which we can harmonize the whole of our being, and that when one of them is imbalanced, so many of our life aspects become imbalanced. But if having practiced the process of finding her note, if she could then reach out for some inspirational text, the writing of the great poet, something that really moves her, maybe the lyrics of a Bob Dylan song or of a song by Fly, you know, something that really moves her. And that if she takes those words into her note and speaks them for herself, it may be a prayer to her angel. Mm. Wow. Then there is an envisioning of her authentic self. And then it's simply a question of trying it out in public, like going to Starbucks and in your authentic note say, could I have a cappuccino? Or, you know, sharing it with one's dear ones that are actually going to just hold one in faith and belief and trust and say, that's it, and encourage us, that's it, so that we get stronger and stronger and more confident. Mm. All it needs is exercise. You know, repetition is the mother of skill.
Mm. It's like the true test of the authentic voice. I'm ordering a cappuccino.
Yeah. Well, I was just sort of thinking of, you know, those mundane things.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, you know, a lot of people are not drinking coffee these days, so it could be, could I have a bottle of Evian? Rather than, can I have a pack of cigarettes? You know.
Brilliant. Well, Stuart, always an absolute joy to connect with your voice and actually connect with the man behind the voice as well. And I have no doubt you've made a phenomenal impact on our listeners, both who are listening to this live and also for the people who have an opportunity to listen to the recording. And I have no doubt that people will want to find out more about your work and the incredible contribution you make to the world. And I was just wondering if you could actually share how people could find out more about you and stay in touch with you and perhaps learn from you through your workshops and also your products.
Mm. Well, firstly, Damien, thank you. It's been such a pleasure. You know, we always jive so beautifully.
Yeah, yeah.
With such amazing energy, which makes our conversation so scintillating. So thank you for this opportunity. And, you know, I bless all those people out there who have come in to listen. So look, all of you, tune into www.thealchemyofvoice.com and email me. And if you don't want to email, just click on newsletter and, you know, just fill in the details so that you subscribe to the monthly newsletter, which eventually is going to become a daily quote from the angels, because I'm creating oracular angel cards at the moment that are angel codes. So tune into the website. If anybody's around in the United Kingdom on May the 24th, please come to the Mind Body Spirit Festival at the Horticultural Hall and, you know, come through a workshop of the Awakening, which is wonderful. This is fourth, fifth, sixth year, I think, that I've attended the Mind Body Spirit Festival. And there are some amazing speakers coming from all over the world for these 5 days of a real fest in relation to mind, body, and spirit. Okay, it's a bit commercial, but there's a lot of really true people coming as well to share their love and their expertise. So they're the sort of resources. The other, you'll see from my website that the College of Psychic Studies here in London has very beautifully and very bountifully given the home to the Alchemy of Voice. So the workshops there are cyclic. There are 12 works that will be released, and these are specifically geared to the amazing activation process that we're going through as our DNA is changing, as we're beginning to integrate our four bodies. And as we become human angels, these workshops are designed to, in a very bespoke way for the people who attend, to really initiate themselves in sound, to reveal their beauty, their truth, and their artistry, or their wonderment to the world. So, you know, please come along to the workshops. Just tune into my website, or the website of the Alchemy of Voice, I should say. And it's an international website. It's an international community. So tune in.
Well, and Stuart, one thing I did wanted to actually elaborate on a little bit more as well is just my just the session that I had with you, with the sound healing that I was very fortunate to receive, and literally it was just such a phenomenal experience, and I absolutely left a changed human being, just being at the force and the resonance of the sounds that were created in that session.
Wow!
And I just wanted to publicly acknowledge what an experience it was for me, and certainly enabled me to be fully more present in my body and more fully and able to do the work that I do today.
Oh, Damien, bless you. It's such an honor. Thank you so much. Bless you. You're an amazing man. And, you know, so it was, you know, mutual pleasure. Mutual pleasure.
Well, and I guess, yeah, we're coming to the end of the call, and I just really wanted to take the opportunity to thank you profusely, Stuart, for sharing so freely of your wisdom and your experience. Like, it's just such a phenomenal journey that you've been on personally, and the fact that you're out in the world sharing all the nuances and distinctions that you've made around the voice, around personal self-expression, around being and living from your heart is a real blessing to the world. And I just really wanted to thank you for the amazing work that you do on behalf of everyone at home, and also on behalf of the people that you touch through your work. It's a great blessing to the world.
Well, thank you. You know, as for all of us, the journey is not always easy. But if we can just simply remain in faith and truth and in trust of our love, then it always brims over. You know, and with this contribution, this service that I wish to give, it's quite remarkable how even that some of the more intense or darker areas of material solidity are beginning to open up, so that, you know, more and more politicians are coming forward to really sound their truth. More and more statespeople are coming forward to really sound their truth. You know, one of the great glories that I had 5 years ago was helping most of the presenters for the London 2012 Olympic bid, which, you know, of course, we got, London received. And I'm back online with a lot of those major speakers as they prepare the media congress. So in those situations, you see, the reason why I'm mentioning this is not for my own self-aggrandizement, but there are people who are in positions of great responsibility, spending a lot of the taxpayers' money, who are really earnestly trying to be true and be true in their note. And I, you know, I'm putting my neck out here, but I would suggest that a lot of people said that, you know, the presentations that were given for the London 2012 were inspirational. So all we did was to breathe in the breath light. I may not have used those terms with politicians, but we breathed in and sounded the conviction, the joy, the inspiration of what the legacy of the Olympic Games can be for all of those millions of people who will touch into it. So there are many applications of this very unique index of our character, these remarkable voices that we have. So Damien, from the bottom of my heart, thank you for this opportunity of being able to express the greatest joy in my life, which is all of this information about sound and our voices.
It's been my absolute pleasure. And it's also been an absolute pleasure to have you all at home tuning in and participating in this forum. Like every week, it's a real joy for me to receive your questions and actually share them with our guests. And just having that real open conversation between all of us and sharing these ideas and making them freely available around the world. I think it's got a really important role to play in us all becoming true to who we are and being inspired and powerful to actually walk that truth as well.
Yeah. And actually, you know, Damien, before we really close, one of the things that suddenly popped into my head, my guides are talking to me, is everybody must bring in the pranic cord. Can you see those hundreds of people out there who have their pranic cord, that laser beam of light, still touching Venus? Bring it in. Bring it in through thought. Thought creates reality. Just haul it in. And if you want to, just breathe in and sound the highest note and just like an elevator, bring it all the way down through your body so you're drawing the energy in. Gosh, how irresponsible of us, Damien. Look what we've just done. We opened everybody out, and I suddenly thought, wow, we must close down. Sorry about that, folks.
So I'm sure there's people closing down all the way around the world as we speak. So it's been an absolute pleasure. And for those of you who have enjoyed this recording and would like to listen to it again, it will be made available for free on the peopleyoushouldmeet.com website first thing tomorrow morning. And if you know a friend who would really value and be inspired by the conversation that we've had tonight, what an amazing gift to give to another human being to actually reach out and share words that will inspire their life and transform it for the better. Do pass it around and make sure that as many people as possible get to enjoy these free recordings. Excellent. So once again, Stuart, it's been an absolute pleasure this evening, and I do look forward to our conversations continuing on into the future. You're always a great inspiration for me.
Thank you.
And thank you,
everybody. Good night, everybody, and lots and lots of love.
Lots of love. Thanks, Dave. Take care.
Bye.